3:32 of the Washed Up Walk-Ons. Today, a recap of the weekend. I went golfing. Drake was at Kittlefest. Kevin was working. What's new? Proctor is a hawk. We got the in-state five-star to commit to Iowa City, to the black and gold. How did we do that? Why are we trending in the right direction? Let's talk about it. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans. Episode 332 of this here podcast. All three of us are here this evening. Kluver said he just got off the golf course, which is pretty unusual for him because he absolutely sucks at golf. So I'm interested to hear about that story. I'm currently in the midst of getting my ass beat by Kaylee in a game of Monopoly, which is now the fifth or sixth game in a row that the dice just continue to go in her favor, and she dominates me to the point where I go broke and she owns the whole board. So that's how my evening's going. I hope you guys are having a better one. See what we're up to. Kluver.
Music City Monopoly, right?
Music City Monopoly.
You getting a you big board game guy?
We've gotten into board games big time lately. Yeah.
Wow. Good for you. I just came from
What's your favorite board game, Drake?
I really like Yahtzee. I know that's not a board game. So I guess if I'm using a board, it's going
to be Monopoly.
But I like Yahtzee. I like Monopoly. We really like Phase 10. Pretty much anything. We're just buying new games and playing them and seeing how they go.
It's not a two-player game. You need at least three. But Catan.
We have Catan. I bought that for her family vacations, and a family vacation is coming up. So shout out to Ike Butker and his family, as well as Katie Butker and
Catan
her
freaks.
And the Getmans. They got me into Catan big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went up and visited Ike one day, and after golf, we played like 3 hours of Catan. I was hooked.
Yeah. It's a pretty cool game. We played with some friends here in Des Moines as well one time, and it's a good game, especially if you have the expansion where you can get six people in there, or six or eight or whatever. Good game. I came from the land of Nate Budgeta
and
milk and honey. Yeah, basically milk and honey. I wouldn't call Nebraska the land of milk and honey. And what comes to mind when I think about that is, you guys know is it Shark Boy and Lava Girl, where they're like floating through the, like an actual land of like milk and cookies? Is that real? Or am I imagining?
Oh, that's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Good try though.
I swear to God, it was, I don't know. Charlie and Chocolate Factory, Willy Wonka, one of my favorite movies. I came from Nebraska. I was in Nebraska yesterday and today. Because I'm a great husband and part of the family, and I go to family events.
You're constantly in Nebraska, bro.
I'm not, but I'm there a lot more than you guys. I
heard you're a big Go Big Red fan. I think I heard you're a big Cornhuskers fan.
Yeah, he's a big Go Brandon guy, a big Go Big Red guy. Kluver's honestly like the epitome of everything I hate.
I'm probably the most democratic of the three of us. I will say that. I think I still shade to the red Republican. I think I'm just a shade on that side. Although I really wouldn't claim either of them, to be honest. If I had to really hand the fire gun to the head, 85 for five. I was in Nebraska. There was a little baby shower on that side of the family that the women were invited to, my wife, Lauren included, and the men went golfing, which I don't do. We talked about Drake golfing a little bit more recently, and living out every man's dream as he has a woman, a partner by his side who just likes to go ride the cart and watch him golf, which is a pretty sweet gig. First round of the year, the clubs got dusted off out of the closet. And let's be honest, boys. I fucking suck. I suck at golf. Drake, you said I suck at golf. You actually have never golfed with me, so you wouldn't know that I suck at golf, but I do suck at golf. It's bad.
We've played in the same tournament together. Like, I know that you playing together, but I got to hear firsthand accounts of how dog shit you were.
I probably played better in that tournament than I did today. It was tough. If you need a triple bogey, I'm your guy. I'm your guy. Shot 120.
I mean, honestly, for someone who literally never golfs, if you're triple bogeying every hole, I guess that's not terrible. I mean, it's real bad.
It's bad. It's bad. I estimated how many rounds of golf I've played in my life. And I came out with it's 100% less than 50. I'm guessing it's closer to 40, and I'm about a triple bogey average, you know, shot 126 today on a 74 par 74 course. Is that what it is? Are all, what are golf courses? They're not
between
all-
72 and 70. Most are 72, then go 71, then 70.
Okay. Maybe it was 72 then. Shot 126. Which, if you do the math, is almost exactly a triple bogey average. I think actually 54 over. Yeah, that would be a triple bogey average exactly. So if you need one, well, guess what? I'm your fucking guy.
You're just a snowman machine, huh?
Dude, right? so many eights, dude. So many sevens and eights. It's frustrating because I have the ability to absolutely stroke it and almost look like a goddamn golfer, like one out of every three shots. And then the other times I just don't. And it's tough. So I'm not Drake. I don't go out onto a golf course and shoot whatever you shot last week, 40 and 44 and 45, or no, you shot 34 and what'd you shoot?
Shot 37, 38.
I can't do that. But had a good time. It was hot as fuck. We were in Grand Island, which is close to the land of Nate Budgeta and Drew Ott. Should have stopped by. Should have went and found those hicks out in the middle of the corn and said hi. Did not. And now I'm back. I'm still sweaty and gross off the golf course. I'm wearing a Masters polo from Augusta, Georgia that my father-in-law got me. So at least I look good. And been getting shit on in the Discord for the entire weekend for no reason. And that's where we're at. So honestly, probably going to talk a little recruiting here since we haven't even talked about, you know, Drake introed last podcast with the Proctor stuff and I didn't even get to it. But that was my weekend. I got fucking ass rolled by my father-in-law and a couple other guys on that side of the family in golf. And yeah, what's up with you guys?
Kev, tell us about you.
Tell us about me?
Yeah, man. How we doing? I worry about you sometimes. I think you're overworking yourself.
Yeah, how's Kevin Ward?
Well, you know, I had a busy weekend. I actually worked every day this weekend. I had a late Saturday night, and I'm actually just strolling back into the house right now. You know, it's okay, though. It's okay. It was a great weekend, honestly.
Kev, you got it. I don't like it, Kev. I think you got to enjoy yourself more. I think you got to take some more time.
Well, I did get to enjoy myself. You know, I got to hang out with my brother today, and we went over there, cooked some pork chops, watched the White Sox game, got to hang out with my niece and nephew, and, you know, I had to buzz into work for, you know, it was an hour and a half total, but, you know.
And that's a good Sunday, bro. If you got to hang out with your family, watch a ball game, and make a couple of dollars, that's a good Sunday.
Exactly, man, exactly. So, you know, I'm on call. You know, I don't have anything else going on. You might as well be making money, right?
I would agree with that. That definitely, when you get paid, like, you don't have to just go in and it's part of your salary, right? Like, like you're actually making, there's financial incentive for you to go in. That makes a little bit more sense. That otherwise, if it was just like, hey, you might get called in and you're not making any extra money for this, you're just on call, that would suck.
Yeah, I mean, every now and then there's some stuff you gotta do in that that kind of arena, but not too often. But yeah, no, it was a good weekend, man. I got Alyssa stayed home this weekend, so I was solo man and got to sleep in, take care of some stuff around the house, spend some time outside. I went for a run for the first time since my surgery.
Wow.
I did 4 800s.
Oh, that probably hurt.
Yeah. No, I'm feeling great, man.
Oh, good. Good. Well, Drake, we'll get your recap. I mean, you look like you just came from the trailer park. And I don't know if that's what the Rancho Del Kiddo classifies as, but I know that from the snap stories I was seeing, some wild shit was going down. So let me hear about that.
Yeah, we'll keep it PG. And it was Kiddo Fest weekend this weekend. Humongous shout out to the Kittle and Till family, especially Marty Till and Bruce Kittle. Bruce Kittle being the all-time MVP of putting together anything that you need. He built a deck. His mind plus some of our extra limbs helped him build a deck.
I saw that.
He hung a bunch of lights across the trees, and we got the place looking pretty good. On Friday night, there was a huge storm, and the whole RV lot got flooded out. Like, it was just disgusting. So we brought in a few thousand pounds of rocks, and I helped shovel rocks for them. And then that was Saturday morning. And I would say for like Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday morning, we were pretty high steam prepping for that thing. And then it went as seamlessly as it possibly could, dude. It was a super, super fun time.
What is the background of
Kittle? Yeah, I was just about to ask the same thing. Like, what is this all about? What is Kittle Fest all about?
They've basically turned it into an end of the summer celebration where it's a friends reunion hosted by the Kittles every year as like an end of the summer party before everybody has to go back to training camp, leave Nashville, etc. So people come in for it. A lot of people are here in the Nashville area. I got to meet one of the coolest dudes of all time. Shout out to Jelly Roll. On Dickhead Tuesday, I'll get into more detail about Jelly Roll and I, but I'm 99% sure I could get Jelly Roll to do a podcast with us, which would be really sweet. My man invited me to be a personal guest of his at his show at the Bridgestone Arena in December. So I told him I'd have to fly back for that because he's a hometown kid from Antioch, Tennessee, which is Redneckville right up the road. And now he's selling out the Bridgestone, which is just freaking unbelievable. So I'd love to go see that show. But we got to watch him. We got to watch Tyler Rich, Stiz, and Joe Whalen. They played quite a few songs. Like, it was a damn good time, dude.
I feel like George is the kind of person, and they're just the kind of squad that could literally turn Kittle Fest into like a fucking, like something like as big as Coachella. Like, he could just create his own festival and it would work.
Yeah, he probably could. Bud Light sponsored it. So the other day we were working out, and all of a sudden the Bud Light truck pulls up and we just started to help unload pallets of Bud Light off the truck.
Unbelievable. I mean, they literally printed cans that said Kittle Light.
Yeah, man. They're pretty cool cans. They're big, tall boys too.
George is so fun. I mean, like, I'm not jealous of many people. Like, I'm very, when it comes to security, like self-security, I'm completely self-secure with my life and how I'm doing and how happy I am. I'm fucking jealous of George. Jealous.
Yeah, man.
I mean, how cool do you have to be to have Bud Light sponsor basically just a party you
throw? Just a party in your backyard. So stupid.
And what's crazy is they had, I won't remember the name, but it was some Louisiana type of company come in. They did a crawfish boil. So we had a big old thing, a crawfish. Then they did the shrimp, potatoes, and corn. They did burgers, hot dogs, the whole spread. Then for dinner, there was, this company brought out all of their like wood fire smokers and grills and stuff. And they wood fire cooked a whole meal up on like the field turf level. So then they brought the food right down, barbecue, chicken breasts, this pulled pork, all sorts of great sides. Like we got two full meals, full service bar, all the beer you could possibly drink, the Kittles, they know how to throw a party.
I mean, they have their own fucking merch.
They do. Yeah. The Kittle Fest merch is pretty sweet.
Unbelievable.
And I've got stories that I will tell on Dickhead Tuesday that I will not tell on this podcast.
Don't get to hear them here, though, because Washed Up Walk-Ons, patreon.com/washedupwalkons, all the good stuff behind a paywall so that we can suck you guys dry. What? Pause?
For $8 that none of us see, except for Kluver when he goes on vacation.
Except for me when I'm buying diapers. Okay. Oh, by the way, I'm about to go broke.
Yeah.
Yeah, this kid bullshit, dude, we're fucked.
I told you to pull out and you didn't listen.
Okay, that's for DHT. Never in your life have you ever told me that.
Well, you don't see me with a kid.
You're right. But, well, that's for DHT too. I'm not going to say that either.
Thanks, pal. I appreciate you.
Oh, could have roasted him. Could have put him on the wood fire himself. Oh, shit. All right. Well, I'm glad we're all doing well. Kev, I'm glad you're doing well. You still work too much, but hey, it is what it is. You're doing your thing. And I'm jealous that you got to go to Kittle Fest. And I thought that was Jelly Roll. And
dude, here's another story for you. The other day, on Friday, we were at Lipscomb about to go do like field training and everything. And Mike Chandler's out there with Jeremy and they're filming this new 6-week online video training program for like athletes.
Sure.
And Mike Chandler was doing this workout after the end of a day where you could tell he had trained a lot, right? Mm-hmm. He had to do 8 dumbbell snatches each arm and then chase a golf cart 400 meters around a track. This psychopath did it 8 times.
8 rounds of 16 and a 400. That's
and I had to drive the cart one time for him and I wasn't going slow.
That's a good workout. I like that. I might do that. That's a lot of running though. 4 miles. Is that 4 miles?
No, 2 miles.
Okay. Miles. Yeah. Okay. That's not too bad. I could do 2 miles, 400.
And he gave himself sufficient rest in between.
Yeah.
So that he was grinding the 400s and then maybe resting 3 minutes, 4 minutes, something where he really could get his heart rate down.
Yeah.
But he was smoking them.
It's a good workout.
And then he was also deleting beers at Kittle Fest, but also more stories for DHT.
Chandler was at Kittle Fest?
Bro, the lineup was elite.
Unbelievable. I saw Brant Gressel there.
Brant Gressel was all over.
Dude.
Payoff Willie.
He was on his Twitter or video or whatever video. And I was like, what the hell is Brant's loaded just in the background?
Brant Gressel, another story for DHT.
Well, speaking of Brant, I've got every recruiting class for Iowa football pulled up going back to our year. And I know that we like to talk about how we were the shittiest recruiting class in KF's history. And we'll get to that in a second. But you know what isn't shitty is the boys at DRF. You know, another sponsor, they should have sponsored Kittle Fest, honestly. We could have had some odds going down on on some beer chugging contest or something like that. Maybe we can hook that up. But DRF, they're sponsoring the podcast until we mess that one up. Like I said in previous podcasts, I'm going to be doing some stuff with them at the Iowa State Fair coming up in about a month from now. That's going to be exciting. We'll probably do an episode live from there. I will be there. You'll be able to watch me record and listen to a live podcast. We're actually going to have to tone that.
That's what we want.
We're going to, well, you're going to be, I mean, you'll be phoned in, but you know, we'll have to figure that out. iHeart and our people at DRF are figuring that one out.
Why don't I just show up?
Show up then. I was hoping that Kevin would. It's going to be either a Thursday or Friday of the Iowa State Fair, but you're not going to, let's be honest, dude.
When? Tell me when the Iowa State Fair is.
Oh, God damn it. Let me see.
Is it in August?
Yeah.
Oh, for that reason, I'm out.
Okay. Mr. Wonderful. 1 to 3 is the time slot. So we're probably not going to be able to get Kevin there as well, but I'll have to, it might just be a me and you podcast, Drake, and it'll be cool. The boys at DRF are legends. They're the hometown crowd here. They're our betting sponsor, and ia.drf.com if you want to go check them out. And as well as AdCraft, you guys have heard it. We got the Goopy merch and the Tended merch, which a lot of you are sad that you didn't get in on, and that's just your problem. You got to check out the Patreon, but those are done by AdCraft Solutions. If you want sick merch like Kittle Fest had, I mean, Kittle Fest could use AdCraft as a sponsor as well. Cause they could do some cool family reunion, backyard party type stuff. They could do stuff for your work environment. They could do stuff for your rec sports league. They can do stuff like Goopy if you want them to for a Patreon. So my guy over there, Colin, he runs one of the tightest ships I've ever seen. And, they get it done for us. And they've been on our merch front for the last couple of years. We're pretty happy with the service that they're providing us, and we couldn't thank them more for hopping on the train of sponsorship. So as we get back to it and we go back to the 2013 Iowa football commits, it's funny to look back at these, by the way, see some of the people that are like, oh yeah, these we got it. Cause you get so excited, right? We're signing all these recruits now. Let's jump ahead to 2023 here. Jesus Christ, we've already got a ton of commits for 2023. Proctor, obviously the big one. We'll talk about him in a second. A four-star running back out of Florida that Liddell Betts secured.
Kendrick, talk to me nicely. Tell me he's big. Tell me he's got a big body on him.
You don't.
Damn it.
But he's a four-star.
Yeah, that's cute until he gets hit in his mouth.
In the mouth. Kendrick Raphael. Running back out of Naples, Florida, 5'11", 180. Going to have to maybe take a look at the old highlight video. 22nd ranked running back in the class, though. Trevor Locke, four-star, offensive tackle. Dude, 6. Yeah, that's in combo with Caden Proctor. We got the three-star quarterback, Marco Linus. I fucked that up the first time, and I'm doing it again right now. Alex Moda, who's out of Marion. He's a three-star athlete. That's kind of that kid can ball. I watched plenty of tape on him.
Who's the kid who scored 30 in the state game and got a pin? The defensive lineman. He scored 30 in some state basketball game and got a pin.
Oh, you're talking. Yeah. I'm in 23 right Aaron, now.
He's joining the squad. He's joining the squad this year.
Let's go.
Can't wait to get that behemoth on the squad.
So Aaron Graves is different, and him and Xavier are the two highlights of the 2022 class that's about to, where I guess they're already in Iowa City, some of them.
Dude, Aaron Graves would eat my lunch.
Aaron Graves would maybe beat all three of us and then also outscore us on a bunch of academic tests and citizenship awards. This kid is impressive. They just don't make him like this guy. Last year's class, and I'm on 247 Sports, so this is Ike Holt's thing. I'm pretty sure this is who he works for. Overall rank of last year's class at the end of the deal was 39th. I don't know what a composite ranking of 30 means. I'm pretty sure that means a bunch of websites put together. So 247 was actually lower on us than the general consensus. Right now, our 2023 class is ranked 19th in the country.
Beautiful.
And, you know, Caden Proctor staying home doesn't hurt that, along with the four-star running back, four-star tackle. A lot of three-stars and just way more stars than our class had. All the way back to our class, 2013, we were...
Remember, Hart don't have them, and that's important.
Hart don't have them.
But I'll tell you what, if you can get 5- and 4-star talent, and then you can, you know, grind some Hart into them, you know, maybe they got a little grit just built into the system, and then the more they grind, the grittier they get, that's a real good sign.
I'll tell you what,
playoff football teams with athletes,
There was a lot of missing. Oh, Kevin, you're on here, dude. For some reason, Kevin's on here. Even though he had no stars, he's still on here.
Oh, let's go.
Somehow. Okay, let me just go through it. First of all, this is why our class ended up being so shitty, is because of the misses we had. And this is nothing against these guys, because these guys' names, at least most of them that I'm about to read off, amazing dudes, amazing humans. A lot of them really good football players. It just didn't pan out. Our highest rated guy was Wiz, 3-star, right? Highest rated guy. He had the most offers. I think he had Nebraska, Stanford, Iowa, and a few others. Goble was our second highest rated guy. John Kenny.
He had, like, offers from, like, Oregon, right?
Yeah. Kenny was our third highest rated guy. Reggie was our fourth highest rated guy. That's 0 for 4 right there if you're talking.
You're telling me. You're telling me that John Kenny was our third highest rated guy, and they moved him to fullback in 1 year.
Correct.
They moved their third highest recruit to fullback in 1 year.
Says right here on. Well,
he was playing the same position as Josie Jewell, and they figured out real quick where Josie Jewell was going to be at, and it was going to be on the field at middle linebacker.
You guys,
right? But what, John Kenny was also playing outside linebacker. He was an outside linebacker in high school.
44th best in the country, it says here. Pretty impressive. Reggie was fourth. Sean Welsh, that's a hit. He was our fifth rated.
Who did you say was number one?
Wiz, Goble, Kenny, Reggie. Your face. And then Sean Welsh hit. Malik Rucker, who Drake ended his career in his spring. And Ruck's a good dude. I love Ruck. Gressel was after Ruck. Solly Warfield.
Oops.
Derek Willis. Nick Shimonek. Nope. We're just 0-for on all of these guys.
Thank God.
Wait, are you saying, like, we're like 1-for-10 right now? Sean Welsh is.
We're actually 1-for-12, I believe.
As far as the top to bottom best rated off of 247, we are. D. Mitch was in there too. RIP. Just before Shimonek. So I'll call him a 2. He was a contributor. 2-for-11. Desmond, he was a hit. Desmond was a hit.
Massive hit.
LaShawn?
He counts as like 3 or 4.
Well, I don't think that's how it works, but
LaShawn also big hit.
LaShawn hit. Budgeta hit. Damon Powell, Ike Butker. And then we had Andre Harris, AJ Jones, Jonathan Parker, Vandy, and Josie Jewell, and Akram. A lot of characters in there, if to put it nicely. Did you guys catch the article about Josie last week from Denver?
Nah.
I did end up reading it, yeah.
Did you see in there that they asked, or KF told the story or told his perspective of the Big Ten championship game when he was going to go to Josie and say and tell him to let him score. And he decided not to, because he was kind of scared that Josie was going to knock his ass out.
I think he said he was contemplating it.
In the article, KF recounted, you know, some stuff about Josie, right? Like, they asked him what comes to mind or what do you
think
about?
First of all, what a dream it is to have the head ball coach recounting your career.
I'm going to pull it up just because it deserves it. And we can use the nice little space remover to make this podcast sound good, but this deserves it. So hold on, folks. Let's find the old outlaw Josie Jewell. Kevin's eating chips out of a bag.
Nah, open up some asparagus. You're taking this all out anyway, right?
Yeah, I am. That's the biggest Kevin thing I've ever heard. Oh, just open a bag of asparagus.
I'm about to go get some peanut butter cups just to be an asshole.
Oh, dude, on the way home, like we didn't eat like during the day. We were playing golf all day, and then they were just drinking after. And then we picked the girls up, and then we just came straight home. So right on the border there in Council Bluffs by the Tesla, those who know Omaha and the state border there, you'll know. We stopped at that Casey's that used to be a Buc-ee's.
I got
a piece of sausage Casey's pizza and a bacon cheeseburger, and killed both of them. I don't know why I can't. It won't let me load the site. What is going on? I'm pissed.
You're telling me you went from golfing, getting sweaty and hot and sticky, and you just drove home 3 hours also without eating? That sounds like the most miserable thing ever.
We hopped in the car and we went about an hour, 45 minutes from Grand Island into the far side of Omaha. And then we stopped at a gas station
didn't shower
and haven't showered yet. Smell dude, like a locker room.
Your wife doesn't like, she's pregnant, dude. You could honestly be a little bit better than smelling like the underside of a bum's nuts.
You tell me
3 hours in the car with her.
Tell me what I'm supposed to do in that situation.
Shower in the locker room at the golf course.
No, it's too much.
If I'm going to play a round of golf 3 hours from home, you best believe I have a change of clothes.
Well, that wasn't me today.
Like I said, your wife deserves better than that.
Probably.
Bad effort.
It will not load the website on the article that I'm trying to bring up. But essentially what KF said was he was thinking back to the long drive that Michigan State put on us at the end of the Big Ten Championship. And it seemed pretty inevitable at one point after a 20 play drive and how tired the defense was that they were going to score this touchdown. And so KF was considering, hey, should I just give them the nod to let these guys walk in so that we can have a little extra time here and make a run at this offensively? He ended up deciding not to do that because it would have required him to pull Josie over and tell him, hey, let these guys score. And I believe Coach quoted it as, I was scared I was going to be the first head coach to get decked by their middle linebacker. And I thought, holy shit, to have that amount of respect as a player from the head man,
as a
third year sophomore. Yeah. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, it didn't turn out the way we wanted it to, but you know, the offense had scored 13 points, 7 of which were from 185 yard touchdown.
Yeah.
I think trying to play defense was the right move there.
Probably in that game. Yeah. If it was the Minnesota game of that year, maybe a different story. But all that to say, 2013, we were ranked 56th in the country as a recruiting class. 2014 and 2015, both of those classes was ranked worse than us. We are not the worst class.
But their composite, like, athlete ratings was higher. Whatever I saw many metric or graphics where 2013 was the lowest point on.
I believe it was. I saw the same thing as you, Drake, and I don't remember exactly what that was. It may have been production or something like that because so many of our guys.
It definitely wasn't production. Oh yeah, a lot of our guys did leave.
But just in sheer numbers, I think. It was based on like playing minutes or snaps or something like that. And because so many of our guys missed, it was, progressively, and here's where I'm going with this. I'm going to read you the overall rankings of the Iowa football classes. Our class, 2013, 56, 2014, 58, 2015, 59. 2016, 47, 2017, 41, 2018, 39, 2019, back up to 45, 2020, 35, 2021, 27th. And then this year's recruiting class with Wampa and Graves somehow up at the 39 level. I don't know how that works out, because it seems like we got some dogs in this class.
The fact that we got Wampa and Graves on the defensive side, and then in 2023 our offensive line looked immaculate.
It looks insane, dude.
Pretty horny.
It looks so insane.
Kevin, didn't you say you just got home?
Yeah, a little bit ago. I'm cooking dinner, man. Haven't eaten yet.
He's on his phone. He's too busy. These are the offensive line commits we have. This is what we have to kind of cream over as an Iowa fan base. Proctor, it says he's 6'7", 330. I'm pretty sure he responded to somebody.
6'5", 350.
No, dude.
He said that. No. He said that on the internet, like 6'5", or 6'6".
No.
Didn't he?
6'8", 350. He's 6'8", 350, dude. He's a machine.
6'8", 350.
Let me show you the picture of him next to Wirfs.
I'm so happy he's on our team.
Yeah. Let me see if I can't find. Yeah. So
wait, but he has another year to play in high school or no?
Yes.
Can't Here's we him. Get him to reclassify like Kyler Casper?
Yeah, who just went off to Oregon today. So for those watching, I'm now sharing on the screen a picture of Caden and Tristan next to each other. He says that he's grown a little bit since this picture. I think in both directions, he's gotten a little bit bigger weight wise and a little bit taller. And he's bigger than Tristan in this picture.
Dude, his arms huge.
Tires, dude. And he can move, man. I just saw. So I'm not big.
That picture of him spiking the ball. Oh, man. Dude, glad he's on our squad.
He's built like a semi truck.
He's a refrigerator.
He is built like a fridge, dude.
Show him next to Nick Saban. And then we should put the up one and left. We should put the Michael Jordan face.
Yeah. Sad. Got him over Bama.
Unbelievable. Thank goodness he is from Cedar Rapids.
For sure. So dude,
he's about to have the whole entire state eating out of the palm of his hand.
His mother is
never going to pay for another meal.
Probably. So we got Proctor at 6'8", 350. Let's say 6'8", 350, 5-star. Okay, we've got this other guy, 4-star, 6'6", 290.
Hey, bro, don't disrespect him as this other guy.
Trevor Locke. Trevor Locke, Indianapolis, Indiana, 6'6".
Thank God he didn't go to Michigan over us after he watched their offensive line wipe the fucking floor.
Let me see. Who did this guy have? He had offers from – we got this guy to commit with offers from Cincinnati, BC, Akron, Michigan State, and Iowa. Probably would have had more if you let him sit and wait, but got him. And then – so that's number two. He's also a tackle. You go down here to this guy that just committed from Gilman, Illinois. You know anything about Gilman, Illinois, Kevin?
I couldn't even tell you where Gilman, Illinois is at.
You're not even a fucking – I don't even know what they call you in Illinois. Illinoisan?
A dirtbag? Broke?
This guy – well, ain't that. This guy's name is Cannon Leonard from Iroquois West High School. He's a tackle. He's 6'9", 270.
Oh, he might play tackle. They might move the other kid in to play guard.
His bro.
6'9", that's what you want out there. But
in 3 years, we're going to have a Wisconsin offensive line.
Oh, don't even My talk dude, to me like that. I might fall over back.
How tall is the quarterback in this class? Is he going to be able to see anybody?
Yeah, we got Trevor. Fucking Trevor. Carson May, who's in this year's class of 2022 with Wampa and Graves. He's 6'5", 220. 6'5 is fine.
220 ain't bad.
220 is kind of thick. This year's 2023's quarterback commit, Marco, from the Hun School, not the Nun School, from Princeton, New Jersey. He's only 6'2", but also 220. Guy's got a little meat on his bones as well.
Is this guy any good? What's he ranked?
Says the Marco kid in the 23 class is ranked 25th in the country at quarterback.
I'll take it. That ain't too shabby.
The Carson May kid is from Jones, Oklahoma. He's ranked 31st quarterback.
See, what I want to know is when when these quarterbacks recruits have to look at the offensive line recruiting class in their class, right?
You would think
there's no way a quarterback commits somewhere without looking at the current and previous recruiting class for offensive line. When you see our offensive line recruiting classes, how is a top tier quarterback not like, huh, pro style offense, really good offensive line. Yeah, I'm gonna do that.
Defense that'll get us the ball back
every time.
Special teams that puts us in great position.
Why do we not have the Trevor Lawrence type guy just crawling into our lap in 23?
Because in the end, these kids want to absolutely sling it, and we just don't do enough slinging it.
Yeah, but if we could start, dude, could throw for a bazillion off play action if they don't have anybody in their face.
But Drake, you know we won't. We want to run it.
Mate, okay, you're right.
Hey, talk to your boy Brian.
Listen, I don't need to talk to my boy Brian. I like the game plan. I just don't understand why a Peyton Manning type quarterback doesn't want to come stand behind an absolute behemoth offensive line and play in the pocket. Like, why?
I'll say this. If we got one, I think they'd excel. I think we would murder, dude. We'd kill. Yeah. But the problem is the track record. We just don't have a guy in the last 20 years, basically since Banks, who's been able to like really go out and just be a dude and be a guy. CJ was a dude, but he was really like kind of low.
Wheel and deal a little bit.
He was low key though, like on a national scale. These guys, they want that clout. They want to, you know, so I don't know. We got to have a guy who just, he's got a little something special in him and just, he makes it happen. And who knows, maybe this Carson May kid in the 22 class or this Marco kid, who do we have coming in the 21 class as a quarterback? Who's our quarterback in that class? Oh, that's the Joey. Oh, that's Joey Labus. He looks like he's.
Dude, we're in 2022, Kluver. What do you mean coming in last?
Well, I mean, coming up through the program. Okay. Joey, you know, I'm sure you're a great dude. You look like you're high off three bong rips in your 24/7 picture. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, you just look at these classes and you're like, God damn. I mean, like, we got some dudes in here that can play. Here's my question to you guys. I'm curious. So if you look at our classes through the mid 2010s up through 2018, we're rocking anywhere from 40th ranked into the high 50s around our time. And right around 20, that goes all the way to 2019. Flip the script to 2020, 2021, 2022. And 2023, there's a significant jump in recruiting. Iowa has taken a step up. What's the answer? Is it the staff? Is it Tyler Barnes and them just finding a groove? Are we catching momentum? Was it the wind?
Everything gets better after it gets canceled.
The rise is always greater than the fall.
Dude, Joe Rogan said that he got a whole lot more famous.
That's true. I don't know if that is correlative at all, but to this, it definitely correlative inside of itself, but not maybe to Iowa football situation. You're right though. I mean, 21, 20. I don't know, man. Kev, you got an answer? What do you think it is? There's been an uptick in recruiting. Recruiting's been balling out here the last four years.
They re-signed the head coach who is by far the biggest stone figure in college football aside from Nick Saban. And like, they're just the two that are on par with each other. And he just re-signed for another 7 years. So you just know you're getting 7 years of stability.
Yeah, that helps.
What do you got, Kev?
Man, I don't know. I've never been huge into following recruiting and all that stuff.
Me either.
It does seem like we're starting to bring in some guys.
I mean.
But, you know, just look at it. But, I, you know, word of caution, please, right? You just pulled up
Yeah, you're right.
Our recruiting class.
I know where you're going.
Top nine guys all miss. So recruiting stars don't always translate.
They don't translate. I mean, holy dude. You guys know how many four stars we got in the 21 class?
How many?
Eight?
Wowza. Name them.
David Davikov, Connor Colby, the kid who was starting last year, Justice Sullivan, Arlen Bruce, Bo Stevens, Keegan Johnson, Cooper DeJean.
Cooper DeJean was a
Bejean. Cooper DeJean, 4-star on 247, 26th rated safety.
Oh, and he's playing receiver for us?
No, I think he's in the defensive backfield.
Oh, he is.
Honestly, dude, and I know that they say this about athletes all the time, but the Cooper kid, they got to use him in whatever way they can find. That kid's an athlete. If they're going to use him on offense, use him on offense. If you got to use him on defense, use him on defense. Kid can do it all.
Find a way to use them.
All I know is these classes, and you're right, Kev. We're gonna look back in 5 years, and I'm gonna pull up these rankings with my co-host at the time, because it's probably not gonna be you two. I know for a fact. And
I don't know, dude. I might be buckled in until 2029.
You're contracted with the big man.
I'm pretty sure I'm purely contracted with the big man.
I'd love to get that in writing, because if we could do this through 29 and then just exit, KF leaves and we disappear. We don't even do a goodbye podcast. How great would that be?
The day KF leaves is the day I never open this laptop again.
You'll probably have a new laptop.
You're just gonna stop doing other stuff with your laptop.
Yeah.
I can't tell you the last time I opened this laptop for this podcast.
Can you imagine what Kittle Fest in 2029 is going to be like? Sheesh.
Pretty cool.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, obviously the big thing is Proctor committed, and he's a huge get for the class. We keep him home from Southeast Polk after Wampa. We kept him home from Southeast Polk. I saw a really sick graphic the other day on Instagram. I think Wampa reposted it. It said, "The best in Iowa go to Iowa." And that was sick. That was a cool little, it's true.
It's true.
It's true.
They certainly don't go to that dumbass, lame ass school.
Man, I know that anybody can get beat on any day, and people got players.
But Iowa State ain't beating us for a while. Sorry, boys.
But damn it, if I don't see us beating Iowa State for the next 6 years, at least. 10
next six after that.
How are they gonna beat us? Who do they got? You know what? Let's look,
dude. They just had the Holy Grail, bud. They just blew their Holy Grail load and lost.
Iowa State's recruiting classes are in 2022, 50th, 2023, where we are ranked 19th. They actually got a 32 ranking right now. 2021, where we were ranked like 27th, they were ranked 60th. These guys suck. They didn't even get 1 4-star in the 21 class. How are they going to win? Tell me. Somebody tell me. We run the state. Man, it feels good. Feels good. I don't know. Kev, what else is for dinner along with that asparagus? You got some fish going on in there? You got some salmon? You got some...
So... I'm mixing up today, and I'm just throwing pretty much everything I had in the fridge into a little fry pan, and we're going to fry it all up together. So I got some ground beef. I got a green pepper, a red pepper, some asparagus. I cut the corn off, a couple of corn on the cobs. I threw an onion in here, and then just a whole bunch of different spices and herbs, and we'll see what we get. I have no idea if this is going to be disgusting or delicious, but it
sounds like
two and nowhere in between.
That's a Kevin move for sure. That's called a Kevin stir fry. And you pulled a couple of those in college more times than I can count. Probably a little smorgasbord.
You know what I was thinking about the other day. Remember when I made a PB&J on a tortilla because we didn't have any bread?
Yep. Sure did. Sure do remember that. Oh, we did some nasty shit. Remember when Phil made ramen out of the sink?
I do remember that. That was like, okay, this is college.
This is college. Oh, man.
This is college now.
Hey, how much cheese is too much cheese?
Any amount of cheese is too much cheese.
Yeah, but for us, it's not. There's never enough cheese. I showed Lauren that picture, and she was like, that's disgusting. I was like, we used all.
Yeah, I was scrolling through the old pictures the other day, and then I came across that one. You know what else I came across? Remember when we made like 8 boxes of mac and cheese at once and we just had like mac and cheese for the next week?
Yeah, I do.
I think that might have also been when we were watching Game of Thrones. It might have been concurrent.
I know this. A lot of people would have enjoyed living with us for many a reason.
Just started Game of Thrones.
Did you really?
Kaylee and I are on episode 5.
Bro, and you haven't, have you seen it all the way through?
No.
You didn't watch it with all of us.
I watched season 7.
Bro, you're in for it, dude. You're in for it. I'm so excited for you, dude.
Yeah, we're gonna be watching it for a good while now.
My recommendation for a good watch is Lauren and I just breezed through The Lincoln Lawyer in a weekend. Good show. 10 episodes, one season. Oh,
the new one on Netflix?
Yep, Lincoln Lawyer.
Okay, cool.
Good watch.
But Drake, you got to catch up. I think the prequel for Game of Thrones comes out like in the next couple months or so.
We'll get to it eventually. I watched the 4 seasons of Yellowstone, so I still got to wait for season 5 to become available, Peacock or whatever. And then
I don't think they've even released season 5 of Yellowstone, but that is a phenomenal show. That's a top 5 show right there.
Wait, so you watched?
Wow,
you watched 1883 before you watched season 5? Is what you're saying?
I'm saying there is no season 5 of Yellowstone right now. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, so you watched 1883?
I've not watched 1883 yet.
Okay, I'm probably just gonna hop on 80.
Hold on a second, Kevin. Let's walk that back quick, because I know you and I used to talk about this a lot. You're putting Yellowstone.
Yellowstone's crazy, dude.
In the top 5 all time?
It is a phenomenal show. Kevin and Alyssa loved it.
Answer the question.
Yeah. Final answer. Top 5 show.
Wow. That's a statement.
Game of Thrones top 3? Because Game of Thrones is top 3. It would be number 1, except they butchered the ending.
They didn't... That's debatable. I don't think they butchered it, but they definitely just didn't go as far out as they did throughout the entirety of the first 6 seasons. Wow. So I'm going to have to watch Yellowstone.
Oh, you have.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, asterisk, because it's not done yet.
Is that a show that
thoroughly enjoying
that Lauren would be into as well?
Yes. I watched it with my mom. Girlfriend.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Wow. And I'm hearing, I've seen several things that, you know, Stranger Things is ending or just had their last few episodes. I've seen several people put Stranger Things in their top 5 all time.
So I tried to watch that in college and I, you know, a few episodes in, and I just like, man, this is weird. I just couldn't get into it.
I watched the entire first season, maybe even season and a half, and I loved it. And I just, for some reason, didn't continue it. Lauren's too scared to watch it. She's not into that stuff. So I'm actually going to go back through and rewatch the entire thing because of the claims. I don't mean to steal tier talk here, but we might have to go off mic here, put together our top 5 TV shows, really put some thought into it, and then bring this back to next episode. Also, when we did the top 5 Hawks of all time, a lot of people wrote in on the socials and were like, hey, keep the top 5 episodes going. The discussion's great. Bring us like the top 5 Hawkeye teams of all time, which, by the way, Drake and I received a text from Pat Anger this weekend.
This might be DHT material.
You're right. We're going to have to save that. But that's just a preface. A lot of DHT going on this week. Holy shit. Let's finish with this. Right before the podcast, Drake, you said you almost got your ACL taken out by your dog.
Yeah. Very close. Legitimately the closest I've ever been to a knee injury.
What happened there?
I knew we had the podcast and the dogs had just eaten. So I wanted to give the dogs some time for their food to settle. So we took them outside and I didn't bring a toy. So I just figured they would just be kind of hanging out outside, go to the bathroom, whatever, be outside for 20 minutes or so, and then come back inside. Well, Mila and Bane do what they do. And they start playing, running around, chasing each other, fighting in the yard, da da da. Kaylee and I are just standing there, hanging out, talking, laughing at the dogs. And all of a sudden, you know, they're fighting across the yard. And then one of them takes off. And I think Bane was chasing Mila. And Mila runs past Kaylee. And instead of running past, Bane turns broadside and just runs full force into the front of my shin.
Oh, God.
And my knee buckled just a touch, but it didn't, you know, it stayed strong because it wasn't fully extended.
and he hit me in the front, not the side. But if my body would have been angled a little differently, he for sure would have had enough force to bust my ACL.
And my guy is nearing the triple digit mark on the weight. Yeah. He's getting
70 ish pounds.
He's getting up there.
Yeah. 65 to 70.
And eating that much a week too in food.
He eats 5 cups a day, 35 cups a week, plus
Milo's,
plus about, he probably eats another close to pound of freeze dried liver.
Your dog's a warrior. It's so funny. Oh man.
Did I tell you the story about how he already knows how to be an attack dog?
You mentioned it in the group the other day.
Should I tell it on this podcast?
Is it DHT or is it main show? No,
it's pretty cool. This is good. Okay. So I took him out and we were playing ball. Then he wants to go inside, get a drink, but then he wants to go right back outside, take the rope, play with that, come back inside, get a drink, wants to go right back outside. So I'm like, all right, dude, this time I'm not taking the time. And I take him out. And then we just start to play a little bit. And I was like, huh. Start to push him around, you know, horseplay. I stick my forearm in his mouth because that's what I do. If he wants to bite something, I just jam my forearm in his mouth. So he knows that, like, when I do take him to bite training, he already knows that the forearm is where he's supposed to go anyways. And so I'm like, I shove him and I take off running. And he chases me down. He's, like, nipping at my ankles. Then the next time I shove him, I take off running and I see him and I kind of sweep him past me. And then, you know, whatever. The next time I go, he's pissed that he didn't get me the last time. And as soon as I turn my head to look to where he's at, he dives and takes me out behind both my knees, flat on my face. And then he jumps on me like he would a bad guy. Like he was ready to just put me out, put me away. And then we get up, we're playing whatever. Another story. Kaylee's messing with me in the house one day. She's getting on my nerves. I pick her up and I power bomb her into the bed. And Bane comes charging across the living room. Gets up. I like get off Kaylee, turn and look at him. And then runs up to her, starts licking her face, crying, making sure she's okay.
Oh my God.
Dude, she melted on the floor. She goes, that's the most my heart's ever melted in my whole entire life.
Bane has her heart way more than you do.
Way more. It's not even close.
Damn, that's tough. That's tough. That's so sick by Bane, though. I love that. The phrase humans don't deserve dogs is so true.
So true. I don't deserve this little man, but I appreciate him.
It's amazing. Well, Proc is a hawk. Maybe I'll title this one that, but we talked about a bunch of other stuff too. Weigh in on the recruiting. What do you guys think is the reason that they're stepping it up over in Iowa City? Clearly something has changed at least a little bit because they're pulling in guys with stars from left and right. I don't know what it is. Shout out to the boys at DRF for sponsoring the show. As always, 3:32 was a good time. I suck ass at golf. Kittle Fest was a rager and Kevin works harder than you. That's basically the synopsis. We'll talk to you in 3:33. Ooh, triple digits. 3:33.
That's pretty cool.
Threes. We'll talk to you then. Peace. We love it.
Peace.